to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo, the director of AGLCA. My guests today are Ed Tillett, the general manager, and Jeff Jones, the publisher of Waterway Guide Media. We'll be talking about boating in the information age. But before I get to Jeff and Ed, I want to recognize the Admiral sponsors of AGLCA who support the association at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, and, of course, Waterway Guide Media. We encourage all of the loopers out there to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. I had the pleasure of sitting down at the Miami Boat Show yesterday with Ed and Jeff, and we recorded this discussion about boating in the information age. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, I'm here today. This is Kim Russo with America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. I'm here today with Ed Tillett and with Jeff Jones from Waterway Guide Media. So welcome, gentlemen. Why don't you start off by kind of introducing yourself, since you're fairly new to Waterway Guide, especially you, Ed. Why don't you start?
Well, thanks. Well, Jeff asked me about a year or so ago if I would be interested in this new company that he bought. And based on my boating background and cruising and all the time I've spent on water, which is probably more time than I should have, fishing and boating and cruising and sailing, I couldn't turn it down. So my background is broadcast is where I started my life a long time ago. Worked in media, marketing, been around media companies, and Jeff and I have known each other for years. So it was an offer I couldn't refuse. I worked for Northrop Grumman Aerospace and Information Systems for a long time, but this is a lot more fun.
Well, and Jeff, you've been involved with Waterway Guide now for over a year, I think.
Yeah, a little
so
more.
Kind of tell us a little bit about your experiences so far, this far into it.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't go back and mention Jack Dozier. I think most everybody in the listening audience knows of Jack or knew of Jack. And a little over a year ago, I kept my boat at Jack's Regatta Point Marina in Deltaville and got to know Jack and Craig pretty well, and Jack and I started talking. I'm a two-time cancer survivor and colon cancer, and Jack passed away from colon cancer, but we had a lot in common, and we just struck up a friendship. And I came out of the media business, still kind of in it. I'm not that old, and I'm still involved in some other businesses. But Jack and I struck up an accord, and I'm real proud that he picked me to buy the Waterway Guide. So about a year and a half ago, my wife and I purchased it and started building the team out. First guy I called was Ed Tillett. Mm-hmm. I bought the company about 9 a.m. I called Ed and said, "Hey Ed, what are you doing for lunch?" Literally. And we went to lunch, and I said, "You ever heard of the Waterway Guide?" And Ed said, "Yeah, I've got like 5 books at home. I go through it all the time. I love that thing." I said, "Well, I just bought the company." And he said, "What?" Mm-hmm. And I threw down the book. I said, "Yeah, I just this morning bought it, and I'm putting an advisory board together, and you're number one on the hit parade." So mm-hmm. One thing's led to another, and Ed's now my general manager. Mm-hmm. And I'm real proud to have him. So okay. That's kind of how I got into the business, and we've made some changes over this past year. A lot of digital stuff we'll probably get into, but we've retooled the website, and we've got new apps, and we're real proud of where we are today.
Right, and what we want to talk about some is boating in the information age. And we actually have the opportunity to sit down together and record this because we're here at the Miami Boat Show, which started today. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about what you saw at the show today and what Waterway Guide's mission is here this year.
Well, it's shows like this are amazing. We were at Annapolis, of course, back in October. Mm-hmm. Miami kicks off today. By the way, we're in a little bungalow about half a mile from the convention center here in Miami. It's a beautiful day. It's been a great experience, first day out. What it appears from the electronic side, I mean, certainly engines and motors and designs and boats, and there's always great stuff happening. But when you talk about what's happening on the electronic digital side, it seems like all of the charting companies, navigation companies, are really trying to keep up with the wireless age, integrating systems, integrating their OEM systems with the new iPads, Androids, tablets, smartphones, just keeping up with all of that stuff. That's what I saw today. We met with a couple of big companies today, talking with them about waterway guide, what we call it, data or information, the stuff that we have. We're not a charting company. We're an information company. We want to give boaters information to make their cruising more safe and more enjoyable. So what we're seeing is a big commitment to electronics and delivering electronics across so many platforms.
So what do you think about how the thing is, everything's moving towards electronics? All we have to do at AGLCA is have somebody ask on our discussion forum whether you still need paper charts, and it just snowballs out of control.
And what's the sentiment? What do they say?
The sentiment, there are people who think absolutely. You can never have enough redundancy in electronics to warrant, you know, not having paper charts is kind of the old school thought. And then there's a kind of a new school that says as long as you do have some redundancy, then you're fine.
And that's a good point. I never thought, of course. I mean, Jeff and I, when we went to Annapolis, we took his 37-footer up the bay, and we looked up, went into Annapolis Harbor. I used this again and again, and I had my iPad open with a charting application on it with a map overlay. I had the waterway guide open on top of the helm. We had Raymarine's chart plotter up, and I had my smartphone with a Waterway Guide Marina app making calls. We had four pieces of information to make that left turn into Annapolis and find fuel in the time we wanted, find a place to park for the night, do the things we needed to do. So the sentiment is, I think you're right on target. It's up to the individual boater to make their decision that what makes them most comfortable.
Well, and I think it has to be, because as you just outlined, there's so much information available. And there's so many different facets of the Great Loop that we stress to people. It's got to be your own individual choice, from what kind of boat you use to which exactly of the route choices you take. But I think that's really exploded in the information age, because now beyond those choices, you have choices and all those different resources that you use to find what you're looking for while you're on the water.
So what do you think as a boater, you're a boater, what do you think is the most important consideration when you're looking at that information?
For me, it's accuracy.
Yes, credibility and accuracy. And that's what we stress all the time.
And that goes back to the Waterway Guide brand, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's what we've stood for 67 years. And one of the big reasons I bought the business was the brand just stood for, you know, what it is. It's the Waterway Guide. It's, you know.
So tell me how you transition that high-quality brand that's been around for 70 or so years. How do you transition that brand that's known for the accuracy and the quality of the guides into the digital era when there are all these choices, and you know, how do you distinguish yourself to maintain the credibility that you've got?
How long is this podcast?
Well, we could go on longer
than
we planned.
Right, that's right. How do you do it? Well, you do it, first of all, with people. You do it with the folks on your team who are boaters. I looked up one day in the office and realized that everybody in our office owns a boat. They cruise, they sail, they power, they're on boats, they're in water. So they understand the meaning behind it. How do you transfer it? It's keeping up with that technology.
Plus, we got two engineers, a couple of MBAs, and you know, several people with master's degrees working for us. And Ed and I barely got out of high school.
Say it ain't so. You're right.
So we got people who understand the technology, and they know the water, they know what to do on the water, and they bring that, you know, into the digital piece of where we're going.
What we have found specifically, and for those technical folks who might be listening to this, understanding how to take a lot of printed text and information that we've had for years, even photographs, and putting them into platforms. And there's so many different platforms. You're right now holding a tablet of some sort. I've got in my pocket an iPhone. There's an iPad across the room. I've got a PC here.
Three iPhones over on the table.
Three iPhones on the table. They're all different platforms. How do we give that information? What it comes down to is, first of all, make sure it's accurate. And we can never forget, having coming out of broadcast, and Jeff was obviously intimately involved in broadcast for years, both as a broadcast owner, sales, marketing, all of those different roles. Broadcast and delivery of information is based on credibility, number one, and number two, knowing your audience. Who's your audience, and how are they going to use that information? So what we take a great deal of pride in is saying, okay, Waterway Guide succeeded as spiral-bound books in some capacity for over six decades. How do we transfer that to digital? We go in and we parse it out, because usability is a different animal today, right?
Absolutely.
Think about it. One of the key things that Jeff sent me an article one day from Wall Street Journal. He said, Ed, you got to read this. And I said, what is this? He said, an app should do one thing. And I went, that's right, of course. An app should do one thing. So as a result, we have all this information in our books. How are we going to parse that out into individual pieces? Mm-hmm. We go through, we extract it, we say, marinas. You want marinas? I'll give you marinas. You want anchorages? I'll give you anchorages. You don't have to wade through everything else because that's where usability is going today.
Right.
You want to know gas prices, right? So you go to gas prices. You want to know if there's a policeman ahead. You hit that app, and there's an app for that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an app for that for Waterway Guide? That's what our thinking is, and that's how we do it, using the engineers, the MBAs, the case studies, the focus groups, and asking folks just like you who use, at AGLC, American Great Loop Cruisers, get your constituents calling us. Hey guys, I tried your app. Why don't you try adding this? Hey, good idea. We'll do it. What was that idea we got today? We got an idea from some. We said we've got to do that, and I meant to write it down. I'll remember at some point. But
well, so
been a long day.
You talked about parsing the pieces. So how did that transition into what is now the Waterway Guide app? And I just put it on my phone last week. I think I got the announcement in our users forum that it was available. Is this the first app that Waterway Guide has released?
This is the first app in the format that you're seeing now. There was one released about 4 or 5 years ago that was a different style. And we've learned so much about this as well, moving this
whole technology's changed.
Yeah, exactly. So this isn't an app that goes to the website. This is really a database of information. So we took our marinas and we said, we have about 285 pieces of information on any given marina.
Mm-hmm. Which is incredible by itself,
That number.
And 3,700 plus marinas.
Right.
Yeah, I had heard that number not too long ago. It was the first time I heard that, how many hundreds of data elements you had on each marina. And that kind of blew me away because I really didn't realize there was that much out there.
Well, is there a telephone at the gas dock versus the main number? Yeah, data point. Is there a restaurant nearby? Yes, data point. Mm-hmm. Is it pet friendly? Yes. You know where I'm going? And
absolutely,
all that stuff adds up pretty soon.
It sure does.
So what we did is we went in and we said, it's an app. I don't want to deliver 285 data points in an app because I don't want to overwhelm you. Mm-hmm. What are the top 35 or 40 as a cruiser, as a boater, what I want at any given time? We selected those. Is it pet friendly? Does it have a restaurant nearby? Are there restrooms, showers, all of that?
And we scrubbed that with our cruising editors and folks.
Right.
I think even your group had some input into helping us find that.
Then you have to take that and put that into a data table. Mm-hmm. Then you have to write what's called application programming interface, an API, to go call for that information the way you want to see it. So we learned all that stuff. Obviously, a lot of young people have been doing it for years, but that's what we did this past year, and we said we're going to start with that. So it's an arduous process. It's a learning curve. You have to go through a lot of standards with Apple. You have to pass all of their standards and validation processes, and we'll have the Android out probably by the time this podcast gets released.
Mm-hmm. So the technology is new. The app is new. The delivery of the data in that way is new. But the data itself, it's pretty much the same as what is in the Spiral Bound book. Is that correct?
It is. Today, tomorrow, it will be different because let's just take marinas, or let's take fuel prices, or let's take anchorages, or bridges and locks, whatever it is that we're dealing with. Because we have a dedicated team of staff and on-the-water cruising editors that are constantly checking, validating, et cetera, that information. It will be updated on a regular basis. The books are obviously updated annually. We publish, but yes, it comes out of the book, and then we're constantly updating. Does that answer the question?
That does answer the question, but talk a little bit more about how that lends to the quality of the data. You mentioned your cruising editors are compiling the information. Tell me about that process, because I think that's one of the things that has the potential with all of the choices for information out there. People have the potential to be misled if the information is not correct.
That's exactly right.
So tell me about how you gather it and how you maintain that level, that standard that you've set so many years ago.
First and foremost, longitude and latitude has to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the name has to be accurate. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, the telephone number has to be accurate, right?
Right.
Fourthly, we would like that contact information to be accurate. Mm-hmm. And then it starts going down from there, from those 287 points. Every time I walk into the office or Jeff walks into the office, we look up and someone is cross-hairing a marina and looking at the long lat to make sure that it's accurate in our master database.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel prices. We have outgoing telephone calls to our marina partners all the time for fuel prices, and a lot of them go into a back door and admin session and complete their own. So were we going to get some of it wrong? Yeah. Something's going to get slipped up. It won't be because it got fat-fingered. It's because maybe the marina changed names,
mm-hmm.
or maybe the marina owner is a different person, or the dockmaster is different. Is that what you're... The process is arduous. It's daily. It's on a regular basis. And we ask for anybody and everybody who's out there as part of our constituents to send us that information.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do if somebody does send you the information? What do you do with it from there?
Immediately, from a procedural standpoint, it goes into our master. We confirm it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Kim called in and said, you know, you got the floating docks wrong at that marina. They don't have floating docks. Oh, change the database. Done. It's pushed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's done right into our website, real time,
mm-hmm.
into the master database. So tomorrow when that refreshes, or you open that browser again and look at it, that's not going to say floating docks any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the process. We don't write it down, and by the way, it'll go in the book next year as accurate
mm-hmm.
when the book comes out. So.
Well, and that's really one of the biggest changes probably in having the technology at our fingertips. We used to wait for next year's book to
right.
come out, or we used to wait for the Corps of Engineers to update the chart.
Right.
And you used the phrase before earlier, safer, to make it, these
yes.
tools help us make boating safer. And I think that's something people don't necessarily realize. We're used to having so much at our fingertips, but I don't know that people really, boaters in particular, realize, because I can do this on my iPad while I'm boating, I'm actually a lot safer than I might have been if I didn't have that update that came in yesterday.
And then there are some boaters like me who kind of like the adventure sometimes, and I won't necessarily do so much
mm-hmm.
research. I'll go discover and explore and pull in and see what's there, and if it didn't happen to be accurate in what I was reading, obviously I hate running aground, but if you've never run aground, you haven't been in a boat,
exactly.
so, right?
We've all done it.
That's right.
Or it's testing bay.
Well, yeah, or in the bay. But anyway, so that's the process. It's just a constant vetting. Constant
mm-hmm.
update,
mm-hmm.
technically, and from a human resources standpoint, our resources, our personnel inside.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what are some of the top tools that you use when you're on the water?
Well, I've always had, I'm going back, I've got a handheld GPS.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly got a chart plotter on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
I am loving the new apps for iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I was late to iPads. I bought an iPad a year ago and downloaded a bunch of charts and some software, and just fell in love with them. I've got Garmin, I've got Navionix, I've got iNavix, I've got Waterway Guide app, Marina apps, but again, and then of course the books. So those are my favorite
mm-hmm.
For me. I took a boat in, my sailboat, I've got a 33 tartan, just sold it, getting ready to get another boat, but was helping deliver it, and ended up going into a creek bay one night. Fog, probably visibility maybe 400 yards,
mm-hmm.
rain, dark, cold, and just the app just took me right to this guy's dock.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just right there.
Right.
It was just zoomed in on it. Depth had it all, so that's
mm-hmm.
what I use. That's
mm-hmm.
what I use. And when we're on Jeff's boat, we're using the Raymarine chart plotter, we're using the apps, we're using printed guides. I'm cross-referencing all the time. I'm
mm-hmm.
just always looking at it. And I may have my Garmin GPS 76 handheld, old thing, and you know, with all the charts loaded, checking long lat on that, and
mm-hmm.
checking speed over ground.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So how much redundancy do you feel like you need in your electronics on board?
I like to have three different devices.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have always felt good about having three different devices, because I'm cross-checking all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the chart plotter, I'm looking at the app, I'm looking at the handheld, and then I've got a paper chart somewhere, you know, that I'm double-checking on,
mm-hmm.
Especially when I'm out in the middle of the bay, or we're headed you know, across Pamlico Sound or Albemarle Sound, I'm, you know, am I really here?
Right?
Am I really here?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. And then three is kind of my number as well. And that becomes so much more possible with devices like
right.
iPads and iPhones. And, you know, if you go on your boat with two other people, most likely you've got three devices right
That's
there
exactly right.
that can do most of what you need.
And have you been over to the into the electronic section yet?
I have not yet. I spent today at the Strictly Sail
oh, great.
Menu. We actually had the opportunity to give a little seminar on the Great Loop over there, so we did
oh,
that,
good.
And I explored over there, which was very interesting because we do have a sailboat, but we also have a powerboat, and I've always been a powerboater
right.
until recently. So the Strictly Sail was interesting.
Oh, good.
Definitely interesting, but I'm excited to get over to the powerboat section tomorrow, over to that venue, and to the electronic section in particular.
Well, you know, the concept of sailors and trawlers versus powerboaters who move at 20 or 30 knots,
mm-hmm.
those are different worlds.
They are.
Because I can tell you, 6 knots, you got a lot of time to make decisions, right?
Absolutely.
28 knots, things happen pretty quickly. So I've learned some lessons playing on Jeff's boat for the last couple of years. Now, I've been offshore fisherman for years and run big boats, but when you're going offshore, you're not worried about running into anything.
Right.
You know, when you're going after marlin and tuna and dolphin, you don't care. You're just going east, you know, to the Norfolk Canyon, you're not worried about it. But when we get in the bay and we're running his boat up and down the bay, we're covering ground quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that redundancy is important.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to say is that what we're finding is, circling back to when we started this presentation,
yeah.
That the wireless technology, that's
right.
where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what's happening with wireless. Watch the integration that we can now make between the OEM, original equipment manufacturer, chart plotters that are mounted at your nav station, and the integration that you can now do with your iPads, your computers, and other devices anywhere on the boat. That's
mm-hmm.
where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the exciting, and that's what the guys are chasing. That's what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. And so in talking about that kind of next generation then, what's next for Waterway Guide? I know you're really just kind of doing the big release of the app and your new website here, but I'm sure just in talking to you for this long, I know you both probably already have a real good idea of what's next too.
Well, and Jeff and I were talking on the way over. We're in from, Jeff branded the company Waterway Guide Media.
Mm-hmm.
So we're about media, we're about information. Everything from photographs to video, to audio embedded in those apps is now certainly easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really next for us is making sure that we can create interfaces with our information that will allow any of those charting companies to use our information as an overlay.
Mm-hmm.
We can give it to them, we can sell it to you. Is it $1.99, is it $19.99? Who knows how much it will be, but imagine if you can that you've got your app open of your chart plotter of choice,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter who it is, and you touch Waterway Guide, and everything that is Waterway Guide shows up on top of that chart.
Mm-hmm.
Marinas, anchorages, bridges, navigation, alerts, going ashore, whatever information you
fuel
want.
Prices. Mm-hmm.
Fuel
yeah.
prices.
Yeah, we're big on fuel prices.
Yeah.
So that's where what we see is creating those interfaces, and technically that's a bit of a challenge because now it opens up a requirement that allows now your software company, Kim Russo Navigation Charts Incorporated, now has to get access to Waterway Guide stuff.
Right.
And all we do is we create an interface that allows you to go in and pull our media and set it on top of yours. That's the technical challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difficulty, is getting everybody to talk. But it's out there, and we're learning it as we go. So it's an exciting time for us. I mean, we're having a ball learning about this stuff and then applying it. But we believe that the Waterway Guide, after 65 years and all the tentacles that we have in the cruising community out there, there's plenty of other places to get information, but we think that we're at the top echelon. We think we've done it long enough and we understand it, and we have the passion for excellence that I think it's gonna go where it needs to.
Now, is that type of spreading that information to chart plotters and other devices, regardless of the brand, is that something new and different, do you think, to the industry? And I'm asking that because one of the pieces of feedback I heard today while I was at the Strictly Sail venue was someone kind of complaining that it's different than it used to be because everything is, he was an old school sailor, and he was just irritated with all of his electronics because they were so brand sensitive and only worked with certain things and certain parts. And I think maybe that was true, but I do think, what you're saying, Ed, is that if the industry is transitioning again, where perhaps some things were very specific to your boat or your brand, but I do think the next step is for things to be able to talk to each other. I mean, worldwide, but including in boating.
That's a good point.
For things to be able to work together. Do you see everything going in that direction? I mean, it sounds like where you're going with your information is to make it available through other sources.
Well, I know that Jeff and I talk about this all the time. We have found some proprietary perspectives, if you will,
mm-hmm.
among the charting companies.
Mm-hmm.
Simrad has their approach. Navionics has their approach. Array Marine has their approach. Humminbird has their. But we've also found that there's a tremendous amount of similarity in all of those foundational concepts
mm-hmm.
Of how that information is delivered, and that it is converging to that point. You know, it's difficult to say. I mean, the point is that we have lots of folks out there who are delivering information across a lot of different platforms, and it's real simple. You just make that call and let that data sit right on top of that information, mm-hmm. even in your brand and the way in which you look at it. Is it complex? Is it convoluted? Is it difficult? Yeah, for some people it is. Mm-hmm. Even for me, I hate to get a new computer because I have to learn a new interface, right?
Right.
We just launched a new website. People are calling and saying, I can't find fuel prices. We say, well, it's here, and it's here, and here, and then they write back, oh, I see. I know where it is now.
Mm-hmm. Everything takes getting used to.
That's right.
So is there anything else? I think we're probably running short on time. I've been enjoying our conversation, haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to the time, but anything else you want to make sure that we talk about before we wrap up?
I don't have much. We enjoy our relationship with you guys at AGLCA. It goes way back.
Mm-hmm.
When Jack and I were talking, he brought it up. I know Ted Staley and mm-hmm. our company has been on your board for a long time.
Absolutely. Ted Staley is on our
advisory board. Old Mariner from way back. I hope someday when I'm his age, I've got his energy and his passion for this business. He's a legend, and Ted is still an active part of this organization, and we're glad he's associated and that we're associated with AGLCA.
As are we, and we appreciate your sponsorship, and we've always enjoyed working with Waterway Guide at our rendezvous and everywhere else we get the opportunity, so we thank you for continuing that on.
And I wanted to add that please, anyone who's listening to this, AGLCA member or not, please stay in contact with Waterway Guide. Let us know what you find out there. Our staff is so dialed in. We look forward to getting those emails that says, your app is broken. Because somebody is reaching out. They care enough to call you and say, it's broken. And we go, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to do this. Well, it wasn't designed to do that, but what did you find? Oh, I see. Okay, well, and we're taking that feedback. Because if enough people say, you ought to do this,
sure.
Then we're going to do that because that's what it's about.
You know, this conversation was about the digital piece, but don't give up on the printed guides because we are not. We're there. These things are going to be around for a long, long time.
And like I said, the debate rages on on our discussion forum often.
Well, we want to have both. We have to be. To the point Ed made early on, we have to be both in print and digital, and we will be. We're committed.
Oh, yeah. All platforms. That's the foundation. The printed is the foundation.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. This was a
pleasure.
I appreciate you being here. And enjoy the rest of the boat show.
Thanks. You too, Kim.
That was the end of our discussion. I will be back in 1 minute with some information about next week's podcast. But first, here is a message from one of our sponsors.
Drummond Island Yacht Haven is your home away from home while on your Great Loop journey. They are your first U.S. Customs port of entry after leaving Canada's North Channel and the perfect winter storage destination. They have a 70-ton travel lift, heated storage, and can provide transportation to the airport. Their full-service technicians help you get on your way quickly or can work on your upgrades over the winter. Enjoy fine dining, free Wi-Fi, and a full-service marina during your stop at Drummond Island Yacht Haven. For more information, call 800-543-4743 or visit them online at diyachthaven.com.
Thank you for listening. Next week's show will be talking about some upcoming seminars on general boating topics as well as the Great Loop. Our guests will be Curtis Stokes and Captains Chris and Elise Caldwell. We hope you'll listen. Until then, safe cruising. Mm-hmm.